Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
And welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. I'm in a very, very cozy and very, very good restaurant in a central Swiss resort called Engelberg, E-N-G-E-L-B-E-R-G, and it means literally Angel Mountain. And it's good to see across the table from me someone I've worked with before. You never change, Charlie. Charles Christen, who is with the Engelberg Tourist Office. And he's also, I found out here just a few minutes ago, the deputy mayor of Engelberg. Congratulations, you really are proliferating.
Thank you very much. And I have not changed, I just got gray hairs like others as well.
Well, we know each other too because you have a broadcasting background. You're a man of many talents and many facets. Engelberg, Angel Mountain. Charles, that is significant because it is really religion in the broadest sense of the word which first put Engelberg on the map, right?
Yes, that was the monastery. That is a Benedictine monastery founded in 1120. And the monastery is actually also the first promoter for tourism in Engelberg, which we say started about 1850 when the first hotels were being built and when visitors who used to come to the monastery then also stayed here in hotels.
They say that monasteries were built in spiritual places, and you know, I came up by train from Lucerne, from the Emmental where I live. I just took the 1 hour train trip to Lucerne and then I changed trains. It's exactly 1 hour by train up here, and you go through a really adventurous trip to come up here. It's a very narrow valley with some breathtaking scenery. You see beautiful woods, you see streams and rivers, you see cliffs and mountains. It really is God's country here, and I can understand why the early monks came out here, because you really are off the beaten path. You have to work your way into Engelberg, don't you?
Yes, actually the community of Engelberg starts at Grafenort, which is down in the valley. The monastery still has a building there. It's used at the moment as a vacation home for the monks, but it's also used as a retreat.
People can go there still and stay.
Yes, people can go there and stay there. And so it actually started there at the Herrenhaus in Grafenort. And we just mentioned the trip from there up to Engelberg. You mentioned the woods and the rivers, and this still belongs all to the monastery.
Yeah, and you come in on the train and you see this narrow valley and you feel very lonely in a way. You're really out there in nature. Then all of a sudden you get to Engelberg Station and the whole thing opens up. And there is this large village, we could say really a town, right here. And you have all the conveniences. It's highly civilized and you have everything here.
I hope so. We are civilized. And you only feel lonely for about 15 or 20 minutes on the way to Engelberg from Grafenort.
Who do you have coming here these days? What is a typical mix of nationalities coming to Engelberg?
It's mainly Europe. The Swiss percentage is about 40% of all our visitors coming from Switzerland. And the majority, 60%, is coming from abroad. It's Europe, but it's also America. And in the last few years, it's people coming from India or the Far East.
Yeah, in fact, there's an Indian, it's called almost an Indian village here, where you get hundreds of people from India coming every year, and they live there, they eat Indian food. It's almost like an Indian embassy, isn't it?
Yes, the Titlis Cableways, they rented the hotel terrace. The Hotel Terrace was the previous hotel where the Club Mediterranean stayed, and it's a hotel for about 400 people. And so they rented this hotel throughout the summertime to a travel agent in India, and the hotel is practically fully booked from end of April to the middle of September.
Mm-hmm. Now let's look at the attractions, both summer and winter here in Engelberg, because Engelberg is indeed an all-weather and certainly an all-year-round destination. Let's look at the high points. Let's start with summer.
This summer has changed a little bit. It has become more active for sports you can do. It's more adventure sport. It's hiking, it's biking, it's not only walking.
You can even rent mountain bikes here very easily.
Yes, you can, and they have bungee jumping if you want to do the bungee.
The extreme stuff.
They have extreme stuff, yes.
You got the mountains to go with it, too.
Yes, we do, yes. People still come to the mountain. The mountain itself is very attractive, and the surrounding, the scenery of Engelberg, it's very, very nice indeed. And we have the glacier-covered mountain of Mount Titlis, so people see throughout the year summer ice and snow.
But it doesn't mean you forget the older generation. They also find peace and quiet and something for them here.
Oh, and we don't forget about the older people, because Engelberg is an old established resort. And
has a tradition.
Has a tradition. And within the tradition, we do have young people and elderly people. And so we do care for a lot of people. We are not just marketing-wise attached to a certain kind of people. So it's cultural is also very, very important here in Engelberg, with the master classes in music at the monastery, and so the culture and the care for older people is very important. And we also still have the concert which we used to have 40, 50, 60 years ago. We just started again with the concert. People appreciate this very much.
You mentioned the monastery again. I think you have different events that go on in there. You mentioned, of course, the famous now traditional concerts, and I know you're very connected with the cultural life of the town. You're very personally involved in that. Also, I think there's a cheese dairy. People can go and watch cheese being made there, right?
Yes, this is has become very popular. We can every day throughout the year, you can go and watch how they produce cheese. Not the big cheese, not the Sprints cheese anymore, but the little cheese. And this has become very, very popular right within the monastery.
What about golf? I understand for those people, and there are always more of them, you have good news for them.
We just opened an 18-hole golf course. People do enjoying very much, because to be on 1,050 meters gives us a chance to play golf until the middle of the month of October.
Now, in the last few moments, you've been using a word that we have to dwell on and clarify. It is what you would call in German the house mountain. You're intimately identified with it here in Engelberg, and that's the Mount Titlis. You have to be careful how you pronounce that. That's actually the way it is, T-I-T-L-I-S. It's we didn't invent it. That's really the name of the mountain. And it has nothing to do with what you think. But that is an adventure in itself and must bring a lot of people to Engelberg, because the valley station, the point of departure, is right here in the village. And it's quite an adventure getting up. It's in four stages, I understand. And one of them even involves the world's first rotating gondola.
The rotating gondola is on the last section from 2,450 meters up to 3,000 meters. And this is actually the trip to Mount Titlis is very attractive. And we are the closest, it's the closest and the highest mountain you can reach from Lucerne or from Zurich for excursion, for daily excursion. And as I mentioned it before, you have ice and snow up there all the year round. And this is something what people, when they come to Switzerland, they really want to come and see where the ice in the glacier is.
You have some expert ski slopes up there. You shouldn't be a beginner if you want to ski up there, right?
We can start to ski earlier in the season, so if the weather is okay, we start around the middle of September. We already start to ski up on Mount Titlis.
This is high mountain skiing, so you have to be prepared for it. There's also, for those who don't want to ski, you can just go up and enjoy the restaurant up there, right? And the view, of course.
The view and the restaurant, and is even some shopping up there. So as people do come just for the day, we have a lot of facilities where people have just for an hour and a half, where they really have time to do shopping and what that they can buy, what they do expect to buy in Switzerland.
Mm. Skiing is obviously the number one sport here in the winter. And you have lots of possibilities. This is a giant region. You can base yourself in Engelberg, and you can ski from here, or you can go around to other areas. But what other kinds of winter sports are available here and activities?
Well, skiing is also snowboarding.
That's big, isn't it?
That's big, has become big, and Besides this, we do have also, which is unusual, we have a toboggan run, because Engelberg was...
Coming back, isn't it?
It's coming back, because we used to be a bobsleigh resort, and the fire open bobsleigh, he was the man from Engelberg, who was 7 times world champion.
That was invented here.
Yes, and this still is today a tobogganing run, and tobogganing has become more and more popular for younger people, for families, and we really do care about this run from 1,350 meters from Kirchnealp down to Engelberg, 1,050 meters.
You mentioned the word family. I think there's no question that Engelberg has traditionally been a very family-friendly resort.
Yes, because children are the best promoter for tourism, and we really do care about it, because if the people like it in a resort, they always want to come back.
Well, that reflects also in the accommodations available here. You have, of course, a number of very fine hotels with great tradition, but you also have a lot of family vacation apartments.
Yeah, we do have a special reservation system, and you can just phone the tourist office here in Engelberg, and we can make the direct reservation for vacation homes, or also for dormitory accommodation, and all kinds of also inexpensive accommodations.
And one thing which I am reminded of every time I come to Engelberg, we had a lovely lunch in the restaurant Engelberg, which is appropriate enough, and it reminds me of the very, very high quality standard of gastronomy in this part of Switzerland, and Engelberg has a very good name for it. You've even won awards.
Fine food on a traditional basis, I would say. We really do care about the food, which we do eat here also throughout the year. Then you should stick to your own tradition.
I want to give you a few seconds in your own words to say what's special about Engelberg and what distinguishes it from some other places in this country.
The secret of Engelberg is actually that when once you get attached to Engelberg, you always stay attached to it. And when I talk to people who stayed here, who bought condominiums here in Engelberg, say, why do you come to Engelberg? First, they said, it's easy to get to, and you feel really at home. You don't have to pretend to be somebody. You are somebody here in Engelberg. I think this is about the secret for people who come to Engelberg, and also for us. I just live here now for the last 50 years, and I intend to stay here until the very end.
Charles Christen, with the tourist office of Engelberg in central Switzerland, and also the deputy mayor. You have sold your village well. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
The other day, my wife and I decided to take a trip we had always thought about, but had never gotten around to doing. A circular train journey, clockwise from our home in the Emmental near Bern, into Italian-speaking Canton Ticino, and back through the mountains of Ticino and neighboring Italy. It's a trip of roughly 300 kilometers, or about 190 miles, and we wanted to do it all in one day. We did. We jumped on the regional train here at 7:30 in the morning and transferred to Swiss Federal Railways a couple of towns over. After a mere three-minute wait, we boarded a Swiss Federal Railways train for Lucerne, arriving just over an hour later. From there, we boarded another train, this time headed for Bellinzona, the capital of Ticino. On this historic Gotthard rail route is fantastic scenery along the Lake of Lucerne and the Lake of Uri, surrounded by mountains and picturesque villages. This is the traditional home of Switzerland's national hero, William Tell. After nearly 15 minutes in the Gotthard rail tunnel, we came out on the Ticino side, where the language is Italian, and things start looking and feeling Latin. The train begins picking up speed as the valley widens and straightens. And in a short time, we arrived in the UNESCO heritage site of Bellinzona, with its castles and walled terraces. Here we changed to a regional train, headed for Locarno, that beautiful Ticinese town world famous for its annual International Film Festival. The normal tourist would be well advised to make a stopover at any of these destinations. But in our special case, we wanted to do it all in just one day. So after disembarking from the train in Locarno, we took to yet another line called FART, an unfortunate name in English, which is actually an acronym for Ferrovia Autolinee Regionale Ticinese. This train passes through the rough mountainous area of Switzerland called the Cento Valley, or 100 Valleys. An apt description of this area shared by Switzerland and Italy, connecting the towns of Locarno and the city of Domodossola on the Italian side. During the roughly 1¾-hour ride, we pass through a long series of narrow valleys and gorges, animated by a crystal-clear mountain river, also shared by both countries. All along the route, we saw scattered, isolated villages. This is a favorite vacation area with the Swiss and the Italians, seeking peace and quiet and a change from their everyday urban lives. About half an hour from Domodossola, I said to my wife that this would be a good time for an aperitif. Well, as if reading my mind, a young lady appeared with a trolley full of drinks and snacks. At this point, the valley connecting two countries is now known as the Val Vigezzo. Suddenly, we can see the city of Domodossola, the main town on the Italian side of the Simplon Pass and rail tunnel. Once there, we are a mere 2 hours from home. Domodossola is in Italy, but we could say that it's an honorary Swiss town, considering how popular an outing it is with the Swiss, who love to go there on a day trip of eating and shopping. To be honest, Domodossola lives to a large extent on Swiss tourists. We decided to stop for lunch here. Although restaurants in this part of the world tend to close for lunch at 2, when we explained that we had just arrived from Locarno by train, they assured us that the kitchen would stay open. After a lovely lunch lasting an hour, it was time to board our Swiss Federal Railways train for the return trip. Although on Italian territory, rail service between Domodossola and Switzerland is provided by Swiss Rail. After a quarter hour in the Simplon rail tunnel, we arrived in Brieg, Canton Valais. The train, called the Cisalpino, is an express linking Italy and Switzerland and is non-stop between Brieg and Spiez in the Bernese Oberland near Thun. In Thun, another quick transfer to our regional train, the RM, arriving back in the Emmental just 11 hours after our departure. It was a full day, but I'd love to do it again. Soon.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.